The dream woke Lucas from a sound sleep. He peered into his pitch-black bedroom, breathing through his pounding heart and tight muscles, trapped on the verge of flight. A death blow, straight through his chest. He slid a damp palm under his t-shirt, across the flesh, wounded in dream, over the bruise left by his father's fist, and found it whole and drenched with sweat. It had seemed so real. The woman, tall and strong and beautiful. Her tiny black braids like dark rivers under the moonlight. The wooden spear, straight and sturdy, tipped by finely sharpened bone. Her throw, the violence of her thrust, the eddy of braids around her impassive face. Her icy stare as the spear's tip pierced his chest and shoved him back into the dirt, so cold he shivered in the dream's wake. The sound of his panted breath interrupted the stillness. He gulped down air, swallowed, winced as saliva touched his parched throat. Water. He needed water. And maybe a shower. His sheets were soaked. With a sigh, he groped through the darkness, found the bedside lamp, and switched it on. Light flooded the room, stinging his eyes. He squinched them shut, rubbed a shaky hand over his face, let the covers slide down. His bedroom was cool, colder than it should have been, even in upstate New York in early January. A breeze blew across his dampened shirt, chilling him. Had someone opened his window? His mother, maybe. Memory awoke, reminding him of the loss echoed in his heart, and he flinched from it. No. His mother was dead, had died last year in a mysterious accident, leaving him and Marco to the less than tender mercies of their father. That would change tomorrow. He risked the lamp's light, blinked once, adjusting his vision, and peered at the clock stationed on top of his chest of drawers, all the way across the room from his bed. 11:48 p.m. In 12 minutes, he'd turn 13, and after that, he would begin training as his father's right-hand man. Maybe then he could protect his brother and himself. Maybe. He pushed the covers aside, swung his legs over the side of the bed, and froze. There, framed by an open window, stood a woman dressed in a heavy canvas coat, jeans, and knee-high lineman's boots. Her face was hidden behind a wooden mask, and her hair was tucked under the coat's hood. Sheer terror rolled through him, squeezing his heart into a tiny, useless knot behind his sternum. The woman with no face. Even here, in the heart of the shadow enemy, her brutality was legend.